shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, Interweb friends. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. This is the Stop the Movie podcast. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm back for at least one
you're
episode.
You're a little rusty on that.
I am a little rusty. The twins have taken a lot out of me. Excited to be here for a movie I hate like no other. And to be joined by lots of good friends here as always, Cody Wolf.
Hello.
All right. Well, I'm rusty. I was not prepared for that. Jack Estabrook.
I like Ike.
Nice. Nick Newart.
Hello.
And special guest, Christy Smorrell. We've been meaning to have her on for a long time.
And this is the movie you picked for me. Thanks a lot.
This
is Jack's pick. So
this is my pick because they made the announcement last week.
It is
Indiana
timely.
Jones
yeah.
5. Still. Why, I have no idea. And 2019, well, I know why, but, you know, like, how they think they could pull it off, because this film was financially successful, but critically was panned.
What? So, no!
Well, hopefully they learn from their mistakes, and
yeah,
the next one is...
I'm the eternal optimist. I'm holding out hope that maybe they say, oh, we did a lot of stuff wrong in Crystal Skull. Let's try to fix that.
Well, they've made one big improvement already. George Lucas is off of Indiana Jones 5.
Oh, he completely? Is off Indy 5, too?
Yeah.
Well, he's not... Yeah, because
he's out of...
Well, yeah. They say that, but if Spielberg's still involved, there's a good shot that Lucas
well,
will...
Well, that was the thing. That was the thing. I gave this film some credit. I was like, well, I didn't like those newer Star Wars movies... And I said, well...
This is Indiana Jones.
It is Lucas coming back to work on Indiana Jones again. This is back before the movie was released. But I thought that Spielberg attached to the project would keep him in line. And that friendship and that camaraderie that they had that created those original three films would have maintained.
Well, later.
Yeah, but Spielberg...
But then it became like Spielberg was like, I was just doing whatever Jones Lucas told me to do.
Spielberg's got some big stumbles too, though. I mean, he produces the Transformer movies.
And, yeah.
But
yeah.
He did throw Lucas under the bus here, too. He said later on, like, I didn't want to do the alien thing. That was George. He's my friend. I just did it because he wanted to.
We'll get into this movie in a minute, but everybody was throwing everyone under the bus with, like, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
The movie was,
yeah.
like, still in the theaters, and Shia LaBeouf was, like, disavowing it.
Yeah.
Let's get into this one a little bit. Okay. It is, in the world of this movie, it's now 1957.
Which is real time.
Real time.
Between the release of Last Crusade and the release of Crystal Skull, 19 years passed, so therefore there's 19 years in the film.
Right.
So Indy's character is aged just like...
Yep.
And
yeah,
by the way, if you didn't see the title card, they beat you over the head with the fact that it's the 50s now.
Oh, yeah. They really want
to
know.
They overdo the nostalgia.
Yeah.
The nostalgia's kind of really hardcore, whereas the other movies didn't do that. It wasn't
the other
like,
movies
you know,
sort of, they exist
well,
in a time, but it's never like...
The opening scene of Temple of Doom is a little over the top, but that at
but
least
it's
worked.
Not, but it's out of time. Yeah. Like, you would never be like, oh my God, that's so 1940.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, whereas this movie, you're like, we get it. It's the 50s.
Yeah. I really think that they do it so heavily just so they can justify the use of the word daddy-o later on.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's established right away.
Yep. So,
I just want to say real quick, my biggest problem with the movie starts right off with the first shot where it's needless CGI.
The
groundhog come up, and it's just... Because I haven't seen this movie since... I saw it opening day in the theater, and I just haven't watched it since until watching it for the podcast. And I will say, just not to get to the conclusion too quick, but I like this movie a lot better than I remembered liking it.
I like half of it. Half of it is good.
I really like...
If you were to condense this film down to a treatment... And you were to hand me this story as a treatment, I would picture an amazing movie in my head. I think the way it was...
He always does.
I would. No, I'm serious. I would. Because you're forgetting that when you do a treatment, they would take out a lot of ridiculous details. Like, oh, here's this character who's a double agent, but a triple agent, but a quadruple. If you leave that guy out, you know, if you...
Oh, the movie definitely...
Okay, let's not even say treatment. Let's say premise. If you walked up to me and say... Something really freaky is going on with this crystal skull. It may or may not be aliens. Indiana Jones is brought back out of retirement to solve a mystery, goes into South America, finds some really interesting stuff. The KGB is after him. It's 1957. I would say, I think that could work.
Yeah, because you're basically saying like the elevator pitch for this movie might not be terrible.
I'll grant you that. Because I'm okay with the alien bit, just not.
Oh, I'm not
laying it on with like with like
they're not aliens or interdimensional beings.
I love
which is a cop out.
They threw that line in to avoid pissing people off. But
I have to say I agree with Nick that I liked this movie better than I remembered. Not to say I actually liked it, but it was better than I remembered. I think because I was prepared for all the things I hated.
Because it wasn't
a surprise. It was not that anything in this movie is really a surprise. It's all pretty obvious, but I went in knowing this is going to be Indiana Jones and aliens, and it's going to bother me.
I actually managed to forget, though, how much I hate all the CGI.
The unnecessary CGI. It looks...
Well, that's what ruins the movie.
I'm not a CGI hater, but in this movie, it just looks really bad. It was like it was rushed.
And
it looked like a video game. Like you said, the opening of the film is a shot of... I get it, the joke. Every single Indiana Jones film, because it's a Paramount film, opens with the dissolve from the Paramount Mountain to something that looks like a mountain. Every film does in the series. So they're going to do it here. And I get it. Ha ha ha. Mountain out of a molehill. Okay, whatever, right? But then to have like the mole be like a CGI mole... I nearly get
run over.
It's just a microcosm of the rest of the movie where it's just unnecessary CGI.
I'm okay with the first shot, let's say. But later on, there's a shot where a whole family of CGI prairie dogs, or whatever you want to call them, moles, do a double take and like scamper away, and they waste film time on it. For one shot, I'm willing to roll my eyes and say, ha ha ha, it's the Paramount Mountain joke. And they didn't want to run over a real gerbil. I get it. So, okay, that's fine.
Is it gerbil or mole or prairie
dog? I don't know. Whatever it is.
Get your story straight.
I thought it was a gopher, too. It's like a mammal.
Let's say it's a gopher. So I'm okay with the CG gopher for one shot. One shot of the movie. It's a joke. It's got to quickly get out of the way before a tire runs it over. I'm okay with that. Then they show them again. Well, this is the thing about this movie is we're focusing so intently on this because this is basically the description of the whole film. It's this unnecessary CGI, which then leads to ham-fisted, as Christy said, ham-fisted. Remember, it's the 50s. Now, I like the idea of the kids driving and the Elvis music or whatever, and the one guy they want to play chicken or whatever, and that I get, and that I liked. But again, it just keeps coming up again and again and again, reminding you it's the 1950s, and here's an artificial environment, and here we're in the 1950s, and here's an artificial environment, and it just felt very sterile and forced.
Let's move into it, because we do get to meet Indiana Jones.
This opening scene felt like almost like a climax or an act two ending than it did the opening of a film.
Yes, because we learn they throw a lot at you, like, hey, it's Indiana Jones, he's back, and he's got a partner you've never seen. Wow, check out this partner. Don't check him out too closely, because in a minute, he's a double agent.
Yep.
This guy you never knew and have no investment in.
Son of a bitch.
Turned at the table, you know, pulled a, what do we go? Oh, pulled a Sean Bean on him.
Yep.
Flip the tables,
guys, man.
There's so much that goes on in this scene.
And then they establish this stupid idea. So this group of army guys are actually Russians. KGB has infiltrated the U.S. military somehow. They never explain it. And they've
took that as they dressed up as U.S. military.
Yeah, they went to the costume store.
They go into Area 51. And they shoot up the place. And no one radios for assistance or calls in like an airstrike.
They're all dead.
And then
there's all of four guards for this top secret.
Yeah, there's only four guards there. I guess they killed them all. And then Indiana Jones has his unglamorous reveal where he's thrown out of the back of the trunk of a car, which I kind of thought was okay.
Yeah.
But then we're introduced to this Mac character instead of just him being by himself. Like,
well, here, and not to like belabor this too much, but like we didn't need to have somebody turned the tables in Indiana Jones. Like, it was just like, he didn't need a partner. He didn't need to be double-crossed. He didn't even need to do this.
You could take that character out of the movie and really plot points would change.
Yeah. The movie's arguably smoother narratively minus that character.
Completely removed. Like, he didn't even need to... Like, I don't even know why they put him in. Like,
Is he
supposed to be kind of like Belloc or something, where he's like this rival to him? But that would be more the Cate Blanchett character.
The only place it really pays off at all... And it's a scene that really you could take out, not affect much, is when he's being questioned by the FBI later.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they're casting suspicion on him.
Right. But that doesn't really pay out.
Yeah, exactly.
That goes nowhere.
It gets him kicked out of the school, but he could just decide, well, I want to go look for my... Yeah,
because that scene kind of sets up the... It helps explain the partnership between Indy and Mac But if there's no partnership, you don't need
because
that scene
because the
anyway.
Partnership's already dissolved. Right?
Yeah. It's so and if they had kept Mac around and pulled the betrayal later on,
yes.
maybe. But maybe. The betrayal is right away.
Immediate.
I did laugh every time he punched him in the face for the rest of the movie, though.
Yeah.
I thought that running gag was
that's
kind
true.
Of funny.
That's kind of funny. So Indiana Jones, they're being tasked by the Soviets to find this crystal skull in
Area
51.
Area 51.
Yep. And then they have to escape, and Indiana Jones falls onto a rocket sled, you know, sequence that is...
Ordinarily, this would be ridiculous until it comes next.
Well, you would think this is like a low point. I remember watching going, ooh, this is a real low point, but things were going to get worse.
We get a fight with the big boss, I guess, the sidekick boss, which is in every Indiana Jones film, and he fights the guy, and he makes a creative escape in like this mysterious rocket sled. Okay, that's not... I wasn't angered by that. It was an interesting escape.
Terrible.
The effect looks awful. I'm going to say that right now for a film, even of its time, these effects are... Like, you can watch a rerun of Firefly and the effects look better.
Yes.
Like, this is really not... This is, like, embarrassing in some parts. But the idea of him escaping in this rocket sled, I was okay with. Because now I'm thinking, oh, he's going to hide out. He's going to wander through the desert. Someone's going to rescue him. Maybe he's going to get picked up by, like, a... Say he knows some Native American from an Indian reservation who's going to, like, help him out. And some kind of weird Indiana Jones thing. And maybe he's going to learn more at that point. But no, he ends up... We may as well just get on to it. I just mentioned the prairie dogs.
You're not holding us up, Jack.
Yeah.
A scamper away, and
nobody
then he ends up, and then
I
he
know.
Ends up wandering into up a fully functional town.
Which did they really need food in the fridge and a working TV and all these decorations for this nuclear test site?
I didn't understand. Like, so apparently the people who designed this nuclear test site were really into production design?
Yeah.
And, like, really wanted to commit to
it? I could see the building. I could see the dummies. But did you need to have a dog, a radio going? And
baby carriage, working cars.
It's like they wanted to trick Indiana Jones. That was the whole thing.
Right.
And why didn't he jump into that ice cream truck and drive away? Because I was figuring that was what he was going to do. And then he was going to... Because if they're going to do the joke, it's a stupid joke. But if they're hard-pressed to do it, you could do it better than having him climb into a refrigerator. You know, have him get into the ice cream truck and have the ice cream truck music going as he's driving away.
Jack, you're saying there's a better way to do this scene than have Indiana Jones climb into a refrigerator and be launched into the air?
It's a lead-lined refrigerator, though.
There's an alternative to that? I can't. This is groundbreaking theory coming out right now.
So I roped my husband into watching this with me for this podcast, and when it got to the point where Indy has... blown through the air in this fridge and rolled out of it and stands back up and turns around to the mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
My husband said, oh, look, it's all the memories of every other Indiana Jones movie going up in flames.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the one thing. I don't mind. I mean, the fridge is ridiculous, but it's like, whatever. It's just a dumb action-adventure movie. But when he gets out and looks at the mushroom cloud and his face isn't melting off, I was like, okay, that's a little much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we need to put one of those, do not try this at home. You cannot survive a nuclear blast in a fridge.
Don't get this close to a
fridge. You got to remember, he drank from the Holy Grail in the previous movie.
That's true. I didn't even...
That's true.
It's some carryover grail power, you know?
See, that's true.
I mean, that knight lived for, what, 800 years or something?
He never flew through the air in a fridge, though.
Exactly, but Indy's not 800 either, so trade-offs.
But also, I think this was just another 1950s. You know, it's the atomic age, it's the nuclear weapon. Well, that's fine. But that has nothing to do with the plot of the movie. It's not like the Russians are going to threaten to drop
out with like a scene
nuke. Well, I understand that it's awesome that he has this sequence, you know, like the pre-credit teaser or whatever you want to call it. But it was, one would think thematically it would have something to do with it. Like the Cross of Coronado, for example, it is a Christian relic, which is what he's going to be finding in the Holy Grail, for example, right? The beginning of
they're talking about building a new super weapon or having like this, if they have the skull... It's like a super, you know, a weapon they can use.
I think you're stretching. No, I'm kidding. No. It's true. It is true. They do say that in the movie, but I think that's a little too heavy for such a subtle line later on where we can get into minds of your leaders and tell them what to do.
They don't know what they want to do. I think Cody's right. It's thrown out there so vaguely that it's almost like, we didn't flesh this out, so
you can
audience,
make the connection.
You feel free to flesh it out. We don't know where we're going with this either.
Also, just to point out, if... a bunch of Russians broke into Area 51 and killed everybody. Would they still go through with the nuclear test the next
morning? Well, they don't know about it, remember,
without...
there were only four guards.
They destroyed Area 51. I mean, there's a huge truck you know, chase through Area 51. There's,
and there would be bullet casings.
I think the rocket car, the rocket car got him far enough away from the blast zone where Area 51 was going.
I'm just saying, the Russians are still at large. I'm not sure they'd be like, let's go forward with this.
Hey, maybe we'll take out the Russians.
High secret, top secret.
And we now get what, in the history of this podcast, is one of my all-time favorite storylines or plot points that goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Where talk Indiana Jones is rescued by the government and decontaminated and accused of being a Russian spy, that it literally never comes back.
It was an interesting concept, too.
It is an interesting concept.
Like, every time I watch it, I was like, okay, that's interesting, and then I forget that it goes nowhere.
I went the whole movie, the first time watching this, being like, I'm curious to see how that comes back. Sat there to the point where the credits were rolling, and I'm like, my God, how did that never come back?
Well, see, my reaction was, wait a minute, Indiana Jones was a spy and a war hero? Because all of a sudden they're talking about the spying that he did during the war with Mac, and I'm like, I don't ever remember anything about Indiana Jones.
So was he in, like, Korea or something?
Why would they turn an archaeologist into, like, a spy?
Yeah, he's an archaeologist and
like
a professor.
And he's, like, in his
40s at the time. And granted, he's great at adventure, all that, you know, the first three movies. But he's not a spy.
Right.
How is he suddenly a spy?
Well, up until... I'm not sure when exactly Last Crusade is supposed to take place, but I think it's before...
39.
Okay, so see...
I think it's 39.
Before America got in the war, he was the world's leading expert on killing Nazis.
That is true.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I remember that because Temple of Doom takes place in 38, which is before... It gets a little confusing. It's before... Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
I know.
So
Raiders
that's why
is,
I remembered the date. I remember the date. It's 39. Because Raiders is 39, okay. And Crusade is 39 as well.
That's a busy year.
I know.
I thought it was 35, 37, and 39.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. It is 30. Never mind. It's 35, 37, 39. I've been out.
Raiders and Temple.
When I said it out loud, it made no sense. You're right.
I feel like we should start fact checking everything you say on this podcast.
We don't fact check everything. Hey, anything I say could be taken with a grain of salt. Half of this is by memory. The last time I binge watched the indie trilogy was probably about 10 years ago, so I'm kind of out of my game.
And also, the government guy who's like grilling Indiana Jones is the name from Lost?
Neil Flynn.
Jack, you know what I'm talking about. He's Penny's dad from Lost.
One of the things I wrote down was, is Widmore evil?
Yeah.
Like, as he walks in, and in my head, he's Widmore from Lost. I mean, that's what he'll always be.
Charles Widmore, yeah.
And I actually wrote down, is Widmore evil? Because the way he's introduced, I really thought he was going to come back.
Well, because...
Wait, which one is he?
You have these two spies. You have these two spies that are grilling Indiana Jones, and then the general comes in, and in essence plays good cop, and he's like, Indiana Jones, my God, Dr. Jones, how are you? Don't you know this man is a hero? Like, I thought, you're right. Like, that could have been used as, like, you know, the military's like, thank you, Dr. Jones, for getting us this skull. And then he sells it to the Russians.
Right.
Now you can use this to control the world or whatever. And holy crap.
Yeah. See, my whole thought this scene was, hey, it's the janitor from Scrubs.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So they do let Indiana Jones go, essentially.
Basically, because that one guy says, "Oh, he's cool."
Yeah, he's cool, confirming that this scene was pointless.
Yeah.
But tempting the audience to think it's going to come back. But Indiana has to go on a leave of absence from his college job because of it, for some reason.
Well, once again, they're hitting you over the head with the fact that it's the 50s and it's McCarthyism.
Yeah.
Russia.
Communism.
Yes, that is, you're
despite
right.
Because guess what? Yeah. This takes place in the 50s.
In the 50s. Yeah. Yes, then you're right. They needed to get McCarthyism in there somewhere. And now, everyone's favorite enters the movie.
Actually, this might explain the big town. All those blacklisted production designers, they got job in construction. I figured it out.
That's what, it's Wikipedia even says... Indiana Jones is approached by greaser Mutt Williams, and he is so 50s. If somebody showed up at a Halloween party dressed like Shia LaBeouf from this movie, you'd be like, tone it down.
Oh, that
like,
first shot with the hat and everything, it was...
Well, it's like really,
they
like they're laying it on
the state for that scene.
Yeah. I mean,
they're laying it on pretty thick.
And then
like
later in that cafe scene, there's half of them that all look like him and half of them that are all going to the sock hop.
Yes.
Because guess what? It's the 50s.
It's the 50s. Yes, it's
so... I think
what
it actually says when they set the flight, get that greaser.
Yeah.
They can do it. And all of this design looks like someone was like, you know Fonzie from Happy Days? What if we plus that? What if we take that further? Like, Fonzie
to
was
11.
Too toned down.
Like, make it a... it's a window dressing. You don't have to make it the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And now we get.
Like the escape. I did like this whole action sequence is probably the best.
Well, we're not. We're first
part of the movie.
Plot.
Because
well,
there's
first,
an escape.
First, Mutt Williams has to dump a bucket of exposition on us before we can get there.
Oh,
where
yeah.
he's just like, hey, I'm Mutt Williams. I'm from the 50s.
Well, basically, Mutt is. He claims to be the son of a woman that Indy used to know.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. He claims
but
that
that's not all he knows.
He was basically raised by this fellow named Oxley, who was one of Indiana Jones's college friends.
Yeah.
And that Oxley has gone missing, and he sent a letter with this weird, crazy writing, and that Indiana Jones might know what this writing means. And of course, Jones is like, oh, it might be the crystal skull of Akator.
And his mother was kidnapped.
And his mother was kidnapped. That's right.
I mean, he's really dumb.
And this all happens in a matter of like 5 minutes, too. We get a lot.
And that Oxley was looking for crystal skulls. I mean, like, the audience should have notepads to be like, okay, like, we're.
And not only was his mother kidnapped, but she was released, but still in danger. Because she could get away to send the letter, but they're going to kill her. That part, like,
I
okay,
still
is
don't
she,
understand
is
that.
She captain,
and
is she
the,
not?
And in the meantime, we've got these two shady guys who are clearly following Indiana Jones. That we don't know if they're FBI or CIA or KGB. We don't know, right? So this is a lot of stuff going on here.
We don't care, I would also say.
Well, no, we don't. Yeah, but, you know, it's just another element that's on top of this layer cake of what they're barfing on us in one scene instead of taking the time to show things happening to
well there's so much CGI
this.
To get to later on, Jack, they can't waste time on
I
so,
guess
exposition.
And so now they have to escape these guys using a very 50s motorcycle and like
I kind of liked this chase. I felt that I liked the fact that, you know, hit this random kid, okay, and he hits him, and then our stupid it's a greaser fight, but I kind of
like
that.
Well, I like that this chase was actually like practically shot.
It was stunts.
It wasn't like CGI motorcycle chase.
It was real stunts.
Like
I thought If I had to compliment, the only thing I would say about Shia LaBeouf in this movie that I kind of liked was in this scenario, he had really good chemistry, I think, with Harrison Ford. You know, like they complimented each other very well as he's riding around on the motorcycle. I thought that this was kind of, you know.
Yeah, well, this scene and
it works. If anything, I think this is the. It's sad that it's just a simple action set piece in a greater film. But this simple action set piece is probably the best part of the whole film.
It's
a fight in the diner, which leads to a crazy motorcycle chase, which leads to a joke in the library. Get out of the library, kids, and they speed out. Like, that whole bit is probably the best part of the whole movie.
Well, I would disagree. I'm going to make a case for the next scene, where they go to Peru, they get a clue to find that...
I thought that whole stuff was rushed myself.
I didn't like that, but the scene when they actually go to the graveyard... Something about that scene in isolation
feels like Indiana Jones.
Like an Indiana Jones.
I like when they're exploring the crypt. I like that part.
That's very
Indiana
Jones.
I don't like the guys popping out and
no, I didn't
who just like hanging out in a cemetery.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I called them ninja zombies.
Basically, what they were. Yeah.
Basically.
I still don't know what they were doing there, but like prior to the ninja zombies.
I was thinking that they were going to show up again, like when Indian Mutt came back out of the crypt, that those guys are the protectors of what's in there. But again, nothing gets fleshed out. Like, there could be cool elements if they actually did anything with them.
And I love how it was kind of like in Last Crusade, when they find the knight's body under Venice, there's this aura of like, oh my God, look what we've just found, right?
Yeah.
When they find Coronado, it's like, oh, look, it's Coronado's body. Look, a golden mask. Look, a crystal skull. And nobody cares that this legendary conquistador...
mummies
but that's what Indy does, right? But the idea is that when they found the knight, oh, my God, it is real. There was, like, a music cue, and Indiana Jones had this boyish look in his face. When he finds Coronado, right? Or not Coronado. When he finds...
Whoever.
Yeah, when he finds the conquistador.
Yeah.
He finds this conquistador... And he's looking at him, and he's like, this is him. Okay, let's just take his stuff and leave. Like, there was no, like, oh, my God, this is... Oh, do you know who this is? Oh, he was one of the greatest explorers. Come on, Indiana Jones, we gotta go. The wall's collapsing. But it's, you know what I mean? Like, things like that that made Indiana Jones really cool are not happening here, which is why I don't prefer the cemetery scene to the chase scene, because here it's kind of like, we're walking around, we get attacked by a zombie ninja, we kill the zombie ninja... Okay, we found this legendary explorer, right? He's right here dead in front of us. But, air doesn't agree with him. They take his stuff, And then they walk back out, and Ray Winstone's like, "Hello, Jonesy." And then the story, like, limps on. But the look of the sequence, the things that happen in the sequence are really cool. But this is the only really, one of the very few Indiana Jonesy moments of the film. And you could easily, there's so much history. And there's so much cool archaeology to this kind of South American Mayans and Aztec stuff. It's really cool that you can play with. And they're not doing it.
And we do next get to meet, where they bring Karen Allen into the movie. And it's so hard because I hate this movie so much. But I do, I really like Karen Allen. And I even like Karen Allen in this movie. Sure, they just don't give her anything to do.
I think they
don't.
I mean, they,
I don't know, I thought that she had, she was, you know, I mean, that terrible chase scene through the jungle coming up, but she was really involved in it.
She was involved in it, but that's really all she did. Whereas, you know, back in her first incarnation, she's actually jumping into the gunner seat and punching Nazis and things like that. And now she's just kind of dopily smiling at Indiana Jones. They cut way back on what her character could be.
Because they had Shia LaBeouf, they had to give all that crap to, too.
And I do. I love her. In the first scene when she's nice brought back into the movie, she was great.
Pretty much the only things I liked about this movie were Indiana Jones and Marion. That's pretty much it.
Well, because it's the thing that I thought would be stupid wasn't, which was, let's introduce Indiana Jones' son. Like, that idea I thought would be dumb, and it wasn't. It was just kind of the way they did it. And like, and now he's like, and now he's got like this, now he's got his old flame, oh my God, that's my son kind of thing, you know? I thought the joke where he said, you know what? I don't care you dropped out of school. If you love fixing motorcycles, this is what you do. Then all of a sudden he finds out he's his son. He's like, why are you out of school? Like, I thought that was kind of funny. They just turns on a
that
dime.
That was the scene where it was just so horribly cliched.
It's an Indiana Jones flick, though. I mean, these films are full of cliches and sound effects.
But Nick is right. This started to feel like it was written by the people who wrote episodes of Hanging with Mr. Cooper or something. Like, because all the jokes just became so, like, basic.
I think Countdown joke coming in 5-4.
We have skipped over a lot.
Jack's favorite joke
of, you're a teacher?
Part-time.
You've been saying that line all week.
I know, right? Well, because...
that is actually... I do like
because,
that joke.
Yeah. Because there's a fantastic review of this film online.
We're doing one right now. Let's stay in this one.
Hang on. I can credit other reviews, right?
Well, we have a lot to get
and
to.
And in this review, it was brought to my attention that they used a different take of that line in the trailer.
If you watch that line
in the trailer, he says, you're a teacher? And he goes, part-time. And it sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, in the trailer it was a really
In the movie he says, you're a teacher? And he goes, part-time. And he kind of turned, and I was like, huh?
Yeah, well, what? I remember, because I like that.
Because he shoots the guy.
Well, also,
and then that's like, what? I thought you were this old man. I thought you were a teacher, right? And now he realizes he's standing in the presence of this great hero, and he says, no, I'm just a part-time teacher.
Okay, but as we were talking about the whole motorcycle
chase
scene. Well, I thought, as we were talking about the motorcycle chase scene, I was thinking of this moment and thinking, okay, so Mutt has just seen Harrison Ford or Indiana Jones get them out of this fight at the cafe, jump on a motorcycle, deal with everything that Mutt does, joke around with the students, and doesn't turn around and say, you're a teacher after that.
Right.
That's true.
Like, I think he's already done a ton
he's proved
of
himself.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And to wait until that moment, I think that would have been,
yeah.
you know,
he could have said
if
it
they
to
were,
him.
If they were like running out of the cafe after Indy pulled all that stuff to get them out of the cafe, and as they're running, he's like, you're a teacher? Yeah, part-time. Then I would accept that a little bit more.
You're right. Because the timing makes it a very jokey joke.
Yeah.
And that's,
like right after he tells the kid, get out of the library. You're a teacher? Part-time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now they have... Okay.
We're in the jungle.
They've gotten to the jungle.
Now we have to go to the scene, right? Isn't this the scene where Cate Blanchett uses the crystal skull to try to read Indy's mind?
Yes.
Basically, okay, so they've established now that they found Oxley. He's been in the jungle with the Russians.
Yeah.
They're trying to use him to find the crystal skull, but he's gone mad from looking at the crystal skull. So they want to use Indy, make him look at it so that he can understand Oxley or something like that.
Which means Oxley's kind of like... Indiana Jones a middleman, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, basically. I'll get into that later, but
So they make him look at the skull, and he kind of starts... He doesn't go crazy, but he's like freaking out because the skull's doing things.
Yeah, we also skipped over because just like Marion, Oxley was captive, then free to be able to hide the skull, then captive again because he's captive, but they didn't have the skull.
I know, they're all in like the El Chapo jail or something. Yeah. It's like check in and check out when you want.
So if they needed Indiana Jones to... So basically, they let Oxley go. Oxley hid the skull. They then recaptured him, which meant that they followed him.
So why would they need Indiana Jones to find the skull? Yeah.
Which they're implying. We need to follow Indiana Jones to lay the bait and the trap to get Indiana Jones to find the skull. Can you imagine that
conversation? We need to get Indiana Jones to find this skull. Boss, don't we have the guy who hid the skull? Shut up, you. Get Indiana Jones.
Yeah. We need Dr. Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, has the quicksand scene happened yet?
That's coming. So they make Indiana Jones look at the skull, and he's like, I'm not going to help you though. And they're like, they point a gun at Mutt, and they're like, we're going to shoot him. And Mutt's like, ah, shoot me. He's like, it hurt him. So they're like, okay, well,
we'll bring out Marion, where we meet Karen Allen,
and he realizes Marion's there, and they're going to kill her if he doesn't help. So he's like, okay, I'll help. So as he's helping them, he's like reading the map or whatever.
Because Oxley begins to translate what Oxley is doing. So for a time they're working together, and then Mutt does something stupid as a distraction, right?
He knocks over a table or something like that.
Mutt is watching Indiana work with the Soviets, and he's upset about this.
Yeah.
So he pushes the table over and punches one of the guards, and he like pulls Marion and Oxley and Indiana Jones away. He's like, oh, let's go, we're going to escape. And that's when Indiana and Marion like fall into a... It's not quicksand, it's dry sand.
It's dry sand.
Yeah, they make a point to say it's not quicksand.
I want to talk about this scene a little bit, and this is when my rage started to take over when I was watching the theater. This is shot in a soundstage. Why is this scene shot? No Indiana Jones movie should be shooting an exterior scene on a soundstage.
I'm just glad it wasn't CGI.
Well, that's true, but I mean, it's embarrassing. This looks Days of Our Lives set.
The movie looks a lot cheaper than it was.
It really does soundstage-y. Yeah. And, like, there's no... I mean, come on, guys. Like, go out in the woods. Like, this is crazy to be doing that on a stage.
Yeah.
You know? It bothered me so much. And I know Harrison Ford is older. I know everyone's a little older. But, like, come on. You know, we're not giving you $200 million for us to shoot a shot in like the Days of Our Lives, like generic forest set, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the least of my problems with
it. Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. I think my
biggest problem with this scene is that I felt bad for Oxley. Indy yells at Oxley, go get help.
Yeah.
And Oxley goes and brings the Russians back. Yeah. Well, who else is he going to go to?
Yeah.
The Russians are the only people around.
Can I give you a theory?
The snake rope. They throw the snake rope.
Yes.
It was funny, but it was implausible.
I didn't mind that as a callback to the snake.
It went on a bit long.
Grab the rope.
It went on too long,
but...
Grab the rope.
I have a theory. I don't know that this is that revolutionary theory, but one of my things with this movie is it's clearly a lot of different drafts awkwardly hammered together and patched together.
Yeah, compromise film.
I would bet all of the money in my wallet that in... a draft of this movie that the script is heavily drawn on, the Oxley character is Abner Ravenwood, Marion's dad, who's referenced in Raiders of the Lost Ark and as
vanished in that film.
Vanished, but not dead.
Yep.
And I feel like everything
they reference
in this movie,
him in this movie, though, too.
They call her Abner's kid.
Yeah, they do.
So much of the interaction between Oxley and Harrison Ford seems like it was designed to be... Mm-hmm. Between like Abner Ravenwood and Indiana Jones, but that somebody was like, I don't know, that Raiders of the Lost Ark movie's like 25 years old. No one's gonna, you know, and then somebody just like alive, had them rip that out. But it just everything about it feels that way to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but
you could say that he fathered Marion when he was very young. You could say that he's just very healthy and he's older.
I think
older.
John Hurt looks old enough to be Karen Allen's dad.
The idea that John Hurt and Harrison Ford, I mean, that Oxley and Indy went to college together just seems so odd because Oxley looks so much older than Indy in this movie.
Yes.
And I remember one point they were close together. I'm like, they are not college.
Maybe he went to school like much later in life though.
He went back in his
late 30s.
Yeah.
He's an adult learner. That's great.
In archaeology.
Yeah.
The Learning Annex had a class.
So now is this where we get into the giant Amazon chase?
Because Oxley gets help and it's the Russians again, so they just capture them again. And and then it cuts to them going through the jungle with a big like machine that's cutting a path through the...
Yeah.
This whole, from this point on...
Well, that wood chipper, that looked That looked like a shot from like a video game, like establishing shot of the thing you're gonna fight at the end of the level.
It looked like an establishing shot from like a PS2 game.
Yeah.
We didn't even hit like PS3 level graphics in this.
It looked so rushed.
Yeah. This entire sequence, which is long.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Shaking my head the entire time.
So when Indiana Jones, Mutt gets Indiana Jones the knife so he can cut himself out, there's a split second where Indiana Jones flips the knife and he goes, whoop. Like he cut himself?
There's like a ripping sound. I didn't know if they were saying he ripped like his pants
and
or something.
When he does it, it cuts to Mutt who says, oh, shit. Like something bad just happened. To which Indiana Jones just generically takes the knife out and cuts his friends free.
Yeah.
What was that? I want to know what that was.
I guess Indiana Jones really thought it was a good improv comedy moment? I don't know.
I don't know what that was. Mutt creatively gets the knife, gets his switchblade out.
Yeah.
He gets it to Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones has got it behind his back, right? He's working it. You hear the sound effect of the knife coming out. You hear a rip. Indiana Jones kind of goes, whoop, like he stabbed himself in the ass, right?
Yeah.
And then Mutt goes, oh, shit, like something bad's about to happen.
And then nothing.
And then Indiana Jones literally, split second later, do-do-do-do, and cuts his friends free.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what was that?
Yeah.
So Rosebud is the sled.
That's right. There's a part of me that almost doesn't even want to get into the chase.
Well, the first chase. Yeah, we're not
getting
into the full thing, but this is...
it's so crazy.
How long is this random road in the jungle that they can be
they're
two
creating
vehicles
the road.
Next to each other? Yeah.
They're going at least 60, but they're probably going faster.
I feel like this is like the Route 66 of Peru. They're on it forever.
Yeah. They probably went all the way through Peru and then turned around and came back the other way.
Well, this scene is what I think of when I think of the movie. Like when I think of why I don't like the movie, it's like like Chris said, they're going next to each other down this road, and there's like sword fights going on between the cars. They're jumping back and forth.
Somehow the only trees that they hit are waist high.
So then the
whole thing.
And then there's like banter going on, and it's obvious that they're just standing still, and there's just CGI, a jungle.
And here we get,
but then
I'm a triple agent, Jonesy, and that's going on at the same time,
But then the worst thing is when then Mutt like gets somehow he goes up into the trees and
swinging,
he's like holding a vine.
He's
swinging through the jungle with the monkeys catching up with the fight.
This is some real Roger Moore, James Bond stuff at this point.
It's like
this
dumbest thing ever.
This made me pray I was watching Octopussy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is like the tsunami scene in Die Another Day to me. It pretty much is.
It's just
the scene that ruined like the whole
film.
Not
only does it look very fake, it is out of place. It makes no sense. Because even in an Indiana Jones flick, Indiana Jones might swing from a vine across a chasm or something, but is he really going to like swing with
not
the
catching up to a car?
Yeah.
And now, understandably, it's Mutt that's doing it, not Indy, but still, even
that doesn't make it better.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any better.
Well, the thing that frustrates me about it is just that, the fighting in the cars was actually kind of cool. Not the sword fighting, but, Indiana Jones punching in this confined
space.
The idea is sound. The small 30-second portions where it's Indy fighting someone in a car. Like, those felt like an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
And then you pull out to a wider shot of Mutt straddling two cars, having a sword fight with Cate Blanchett, and
Karen Allen's barking fencing orders at him.
Yeah. And just the fact, too, that it's happening, like I said, in a CG. Like, in the other ones, when he's fighting on the tank in Last Crusade, like, they're actually fighting on a tank as it's going towards a cliff, and that's exciting.
Well, it's a real tank in a real desert.
It's actually moving.
Yeah.
And it's
or
not...
he's, like, getting dragged behind the truck in one of the other ones, or it might be that one, too. And
it's not spanning miles and miles of jungle.
Yeah. They make sure that you know that it's seconds from falling off the cliff.
Yeah.
Instead of, that cliff sits, it's a waste. Keep going.
And then when they do go over a waterfall, I think they go over multiple waterfalls.
Well, what they do is...
Well, they jump off the cliff and then they go
into
the
water.
Because he says,
well, they jump off the cliff onto a tree that
clearly Karen Allen knew was there.
They make sure to show you that the monkey survives. There's some monkey that's like holding onto the branch. Yeah. We didn't kill the monkey. See,
monkeys survive. Soviets don't.
Soviets get eaten by ants.
Well, at one point, they're crazy super truck.
This is a real vehicle, by the way. I looked at this. I looked this up.
That gets destroyed, but the people inside it live? I don't know, how that works.
When they go over the waterfall every time, and there's no seatbelts, there's no cover to this. They're in a duck boat car that goes over three waterfalls, but they're perfectly fine.
Well, the last one they go over, you can see them all like falling out of the car, and it's like they're still
behind. They should be opening that thing up, and it should be like a ketchup packet inside.
They needed something for Karen Allen to do, and they decided to make her the driver. So this became her function in the plot. So therefore, this had to happen. And
well, even before that, though, when
they
crashed.
It's a callback to the raft scene in Temple of Doom, but again, that's a real raft, you know, on real water. It's a raft.
When they crash before that, they jump off the cliff, like, they crash into, like, a mound or something, and then one of the trucks, like, comes up and, like, drives over the duck boat.
They would be dead.
Yeah, it doesn't have, like, a roof on it, so it just, like, drives over them.
Their heads got run over, and they're perfectly fine.
They get out there like, oh.
To be fair, they would have all been dead at least a dozen
That's
times
true.
By now,
yeah.
True, 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 true.
But, yeah, it's...
So there's, like, a quick scene with these killer ants that eat one of the Russian guys.
Yeah, I think they should have done more with that. There's often gruesome death scenes in indie flicks. And I thought the idea of the ants, this is the one spot where you could use CG effectively. Of course, they didn't.
No.
But it looked better than a lot of the CG. And if they had shot in a real location and had real stuntmen and used these CGI ants, this could have looked good.
Maybe.
I'm okay with the killer ants and the killer bugs.
It goes too long
and it seems to halt the action. Yeah, now like, that we're done with the water chase, like, let's do scary bugs. They could have done that earlier when they're in the caves.
If they had been fighting and then Indy punches a guy and he falls on a mound and then killer ants come out and eat him, it's like, that's one thing. But it, like, the whole time they're having this like 5 minute long fight and the ants are just like...
The ants are constantly chasing them but not actually catching anybody.
It's just like too much.
Yeah.
So then they get away from the ants because they have the crystal skull, which makes the ants go away.
It's his magic power.
And then they drive over the cliff, and then three waterfalls, and then...
They need a cryptic message to tell them to go into a skull-shaped mountain. They're looking for a crystal skull.
Yeah.
There's a skull
in the
waterfall.
Like,
in the
they
mountain,
go over the waterfall, and then they get onto the land, and they point up back to the waterfall, like, oh, we have to go through that waterfall that we just went over. It's like, how do you get back up there?
Yeah.
And they're just back up there.
The next shot is them. The magic
of editing. Yeah.
And this is where then they fight a bunch of, what'd you call them, like, ninja zombies or like...
Oh, the ninja zombies were in that original crypt. These guys aren't these like the Amazonian kind of guys?
Yeah, they're like Amazonian zombies. This I didn't like at all.
Like, so these guys basically just like walled themselves up in this cavern and just sit around all day waiting for people to show up so that they can dramatically
is what the movie has led us to believe, that they basically all were pulling a Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter and just wanted to have a cool reveal. They were so committed to it just to freak people out.
They're committed to their craft.
But they had to lay there, like, pretend to be dead for apparently an endless amount of time just to prank people. Yeah.
Basically what it was.
Yeah.
They must have gotten there early. They must have been like, shh, oh, quick, they're coming. And they got to like get hidden in there like that.
Yeah, so they fight off these guys and they get away again because of the crystal skull. All these Amazonian guys.
They're scared of it or whatever.
Afraid of the crystal skull, so they get away.
Yeah.
And then they go into there's like a whole thing where they get into the temple.
There's a little puzzle they have to solve that to knock these statues off, right?
Yeah. Which was probably the easiest Indiana Jones puzzle ever. Yeah.
It was like a puzzle from a video game that if you weren't solving it fast enough, clues would start to show up on the screen, or things would start to get highlighted.
It would get highlighted as you looked at it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they get into the temple.
Yeah.
And he just uses the crystal skull again just to get into like the I can't, what were they even calling it?
One of my thoughts was, okay, so this is the skull of these beings that are their gods. Who would design a temple where your own skull is the key?
He had
to push the skull, like the face of the skull, into the door to be able to open the door.
That is really weird. Like, that would essentially be like saying, like, oh, do you have a car key? No, we don't use a car key. We use, like, this human skull to make the car activate, you know? Yeah.
That part bothered me.
That's how our planes operate. A skull of a previous pilot.
Oh, I forgot my skull at home.
All the skulls are supposed to be within this temple, so how would anyone ever get in if all the skulls, because the whole thing is somebody took the skull away and that's why they're trying to put it back.
Right.
How would they get in to take it away?
How did this even happen?
It's a mystery.
And we,
because
and
they had the sled that's named Ghostbusters.
That's right. That's right. And Jack mentioned it too. Mac does pull. It's basically Sean Bean from Jupiter Ascending, where it's the triple cross.
Yep. Where, he went beyond GoldenEye when Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, when you have to be so like making trespass. Okay, so he's a good guy who's a bad guy who says he's a then says he's a good guy. No, just kidding. I really am a bad guy.
What I really wondered about that was okay. So Indy had said when he was talking to those FBI guys that he met Mac. Mac was MI6 when he met him. So Mac was MI6. Then they spied on the Russians together. Then Mac was, you know, oh, I'm a double agent. He's working with the Russians. Then he says he's a triple agent working with the CIA. So was he spying on the CIA as an MI6, or was he spying on MI6 as CIA?
Like,
was
I honestly think his first story about how, yeah, I owe a lot of money is actually the true story.
Yeah. Like, probably.
I just assumed he lied when he said CIA. He just straight lied.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, he was lying, but yeah. It was a silly lie.
Yeah, yeah. How can you believe that, though? The plausibility factor there is just like
he could have
ridiculous.
Said, I've been playing the Russians instead of saying I'm with the CIA.
Yeah. True.
And so then... Okay, so
well,
what,
the Russians follow them in because Mac's been leaving like little, like
a little tracker,
like Hansel and Gretel style transmitters.
Yeah,
and so they follow them into this chamber where all these there's like I can't remember how many like 13 alien skeletons, crystal skeletons.
One of them doesn't have a head,
and one of them doesn't have a head. So they follow them in there like, oh no, we're gonna put the skull because if you put the skull back on the body, you get all the power that they hold or whatever.
Right.
So Kate Blanchett's like, I'm gonna do it, and takes
it's like a high. It's a reverse Highlander.
It is.
If you put the head on, you get the power. Whereas in Highlander, you take the head off,
you get
the power.
The power. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So she's
she gets what she asked for. Yep.
They kind of hint earlier on that she's like psychic or she has some like.
Except they never did anything with it. Like the very first way back in the warehouse when Kate Blanchett first has Indy and he's telling him to find. The box in the warehouse, and she does this little like she's waving her hand in front of his face, and it almost seems like she's trying to read his mind, but then they never do anything about that also.
Yeah.
Like, is she somehow psychic, or does she just think she is?
Yeah, because she had a line where she's like, oh, that they, you know, a camera, something like they liked her because she knew things before they happened or something like that. They're kind of, and then she did that thing with, So she wants like all the knowledge that these beings have, which is like all the knowledge ever, I guess.
Well, they say that they're like archaeologists that go from planet to planet collecting all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Because the real treasure is knowledge, which is the message of the movie.
And the message of our local libraries.
That's right. That's right.
So she puts the skull on and it like activates the UFO, I guess, or the interdimensional craft.
Ship. Yeah. That moment where Mutt says, "Are they spacemen?" bothered me because, like, was that supposed to be a surprise? Because the entire movie's leading up to that.
Right.
And then they're interdimensional beings. Really?
That same is? Damn thing.
Which if I was about to be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, and that line comes from Oxley, who is now suddenly sane again as soon as the skull went back on to the body. Yeah.
So, and then the aliens are like, yo, we'll give you whatever you want. Here's all the knowledge. And it's just too much for her. And she, like, disintegrates.
And gets like sucked into some kind of
UFO.
Void, and then all the Russians get sucked into it.
And then Mac decides he's gonna wink and say, "I'm gonna be all right," and get sucked. I don't think he's gonna be all right.
No,
I don't think he's okay.
I don't think he's gonna be all right.
I think maybe was that supposed to be a redemption moment for a second
because
I accepted what I've done and now I'm.
I don't know why Indy was still trying to save him. He literally screwed him over six times in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know why either. I think it was more like...
Because at least he wasn't a Russian.
I think they needed to get Ray Winstone out of the movie so that he's not around in the climax of the movie, but they're like, but we really don't want to have like Indiana Jones kill him because that seems a little harsh. So they ended up just with this
weird...
Just
leave him behind then. You don't have to kill him, just don't save him.
That's true.
Just have it be impossible. Set up a scenario where it's impossible for them to save him. And then we know as the audience that he's getting his comeuppance, but Indiana Jones doesn't look like a huge douche.
Yeah.
You know, the wall split, the wall crumbles down and Mac gets separated.
Yeah.
From them. And then he just kind of like gets sucked into a hole.
Well,
Indiana Jones could do to save him. Because Indiana Jones clearly could have saved him.
Well, he's trying.
And then he just says, and he resigns himself to release.
Yeah.
He was the first one to escape, but he stuck around to get all the gold. Yeah. And that's why.
Obviously, that's what they're saying, is he's greedy and his greed killed him.
So to have him then have like a redemption moment, it wasn't like he died trying to save anybody.
Yeah.
So
he just accepted that he had been evil and that it was his own fault that he was being sucked into this portal to another dimension.
I had this coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the whole thing is crumbling as they escape.
Yeah. The interdimensional flying saucer it takes off, which they seemed a little not as shocked by as I think even in the 50s you would think someone would have been. Someone would be like, whoa.
Yeah,
because they were a little massive shot of the temple crumbling and this UFO coming out of the ground and everything, all these rocks and stuff, and the whole thing floods with water.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
And Indiana Jones is just kind of watching it oh.
Because they're staring at a green screen.
Well, no, yeah. I can't speak for the other characters, but look at what Indiana Jones has run across. Yeah.
Still,
he's seen quite a bit. As much as he's
seen, that's a pretty impressive sight. This giant area of land exploding and water filling in. Yeah, but
after you drink from the Holy Grail, what's going to surprise you?
One of the running gags of Indiana Jones, I think, is kind of a subtle joke, is that he never believes anything. Well, you believe that mumbo jumbo, the power of God comes out of the ark, whatever. Oh, you believe that? Some people believe that mumbo jumbo, that these chakra stones give people power, but I don't know. You know, some people believe that the cup of eternal life, the Holy Grail, it's superstition, right? So one would say, aliens, wah.
Yeah, but he fully believed everything the whole movie.
Which is a little out of character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he did seem all in. Yeah.
He didn't even question it when Karen Allen told him that Mutt was his son.
He
did kind of buy that straight out. I mean, there's no... He needs Mari to do a test, to do a paternity test.
That's right. The best Mari episode
ever. This is one thing that I was glad of at the end of the wedding scene, where I was glad that Shia LaBeouf didn't fully put on...
Yes, so was I.
Yeah, I think that... I almost feel like the people making the movie were like, you know what, we should...
Let's leave this open.
Yeah, let's not commit to Shia LaBeouf taking this franchise over. Yeah.
I did think it was weird too. Shia LaBeouf seemed really creeped out when Indy kissed his mother at their wedding.
Yeah.
He's really? What are you doing?
Are you not okay with me? Usually kids would want their parents to be back together. And clearly, if there's now a wedding, it's been a while since they got back from UFO land. And
it's their wedding. They're going to kiss.
Okay. Well, Mike raises a point. So Oxley's just he's back in the picture. I'm fine with this. Because he's been married to her for.
No, they weren't married.
They were married.
No, Oxley was just. Marion got married to someone else who died in the war.
Right, died. And then I thought her and then Oxley
became
married.
No, Oxley was just father. Uncle Oxley. Yeah, surrogate father, just helping raise the kid.
You bring up a very good point.
You bring up a very good point, because they have to dance around that a little weird.
Yeah.
In the theater, I remember this. Oxley's like, oh my God, Indiana Jones, it's you, right? Why didn't Oxley, boom, slug him? Because Mutt says that Oxley was angry that his dad was never... Marion says that Oxley was angry that he was never around.
Yeah.
He now is angry. Maybe doesn't hate him, but he's angry that Indiana Jones abandoned his child. Now, of course, Indiana Jones didn't know he had a child, so obviously this could be resolved. But there's no reaction. It's just, oh, you're Indiana Jones. Nice to see you again. Wow, I'm out of my haze.
Yeah.
You totally, abandoned your family, dude.
I've been raising
your
kid for 19 years.
Where the hell have you been?
Yeah, what's happening, man? You know, remember college? That was crazy. Also, I'm wicked old.
College when I was 40 and you were 20.
Yeah.
I did earlier, though, after the UFO comes out, when Indiana Jones calls Mutt Jr. and he gets upset about it just because I love Last Crusade.
Well, the idea of the father-son isn't dumb. It's all in the execution.
I'd like to. One of my biggest issues with this movie is the overall idea of that at no point in this film is Indiana Jones initiating anything that's happening. Mutt essentially initiates Indiana Jones starting this quest. It's then basically the Kate Blanchett character that pushes everything forward when they get into Peru. And then as they're coming up on the temple, it's Oxley who's... Indiana Jones is basically a passenger in the car. He's never driving the car for the course of the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, he's getting up there in years. They took away his license.
I can't... Yeah, true. And, it's just... It's really you could really make a case he's never the true hero of this movie. He's essentially the secondary hero or the secondary motivator in all of this.
Well, this kind of reminds me of something I've seen said about Raiders of the Lost Ark, where Indy... doesn't have to be there.
Everything happened exactly the same.
The Ark would have taken the Nazis out either way, and if anything, he only increased the likelihood of danger for
things. Things would at worst be the same, possibly better if he didn't get involved. It's just this is not a good movie. There's moments of Indiana Jonesness in it, but not
As I was watching the movie, I went through a progression in my head where first I said, you know, if it weren't for the fact that this was Aliens, maybe it would be a good movie. And then 5 minutes later, you know, if it weren't for the fact that this is Aliens and Shia LaBeouf's character, this might be a good movie. And then a few minutes later, you know, if it weren't for the fact that it's Aliens and Shia LaBeouf's character and Kate Blanchett's character, maybe this would be a good movie. And finally I'm like, no, it's just not a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
They just took a different path with it.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, too, watching it the first time and being like, wow, Indiana Jones is looking old, like Harrison Ford. And now it's like, you see the Star Wars, you know, the new Star Wars movie. It's like, oh, yeah. Now they're doing another one. It's like, oh.
He's going to be 77.
I don't mind
Indiana
that.
Indiana Jones 5.
I think
because going back and watching this one now, I'm like, oh, he didn't look that old. I mean, he's older, but it wasn't like.
And I think believable. It can depend on how they do it, but I think it's still, you know, it still worked in Star Wars. If they do it the right way, Do we know if Shia LaBeouf is coming back?
I think he burned a lot of bridges with the way he acted after the film came out. He said, please don't blame me. I know this movie sucks. And I think he may have burned some bridges when he did that.
I just think in life, Shia LaBeouf. Yeah. I mean,
did anyone pay attention to the Shia LaBeouf All My Movies?
No.
So
Shia LaBeouf with James Corden?
No. Shia LaBeouf set up a film festival that was live streamed where there was a camera in front. He was sitting in a movie theater and he let anyone come in. So people were coming in and out the whole time. But for, I think it was like 3 days straight, he watched all of his movies in reverse chronological order with a camera in front of him so that you could open up the live stream and watch Shia. And it was actually hilarious because you can see like his reactions. There are, you should look online, there are screenshots of his reactions to all different movies.
Oh, really?
And he's like facepalm and hanging his head in shame during this movie.
He generally has the same opinion as
he really most does.
People he has do a sense of humor movie. About himself, I guess.
I made this joke earlier at our workplace, which is I hope that in Indiana Jones 5, on Indiana Jones' desk, there's three pictures. There's a picture of Sean Connery, a picture of Denholm Elliott, and a picture of a flaming wreck of a motorcycle hit a bridge. You know?
We could bring Short Round back. Yeah.
I'm hoping that they find some way to explain Mutt not being in 5.
Yeah. That's going to be awkward.
I mean,
No, that they can't. That's going to be really awkward. That's going to be a problem that this film is going
to
have.
Or even, hey, you know what? He went back to college. The Annex is having a class for him. So Indy won't let him be out of school to help him on his adventure.
I was wondering why they didn't just bring Short Round back and have him be like now he's an adventurer like Indiana Jones. And now he needs Indiana Jones's help with this crystal skull thing because he's not as good as Indiana Jones. But because he idolized Indiana Jones, he's similar in a lot of ways. You want to bring in the Cold War stuff. He's originally from China.
I mean, I think, and you have to go back, like, view it with what things were like in 2009. I mean, I think they thought, like, oh, the kids like Shia. I mean, there was a time frame when you could have argued Shia LaBeouf.
At that point in time, he was, I think this might have pushed him off the cliff a little bit. But this was a time when he was popular. It made sense to see if he could pick up that mantle, but no.
No.
I just don't think he's the right type of actor. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know. Like, for an Indiana Jones type, I think, like, a Chris Pratt is more
fun. I was just about to say, I've seen tons of stuff of, could Chris Pratt be the next Indiana Jones? That one I could see.
Well, they have said, Frank Marshall has given some interesting statements that they're not going to have another actor play Indiana Jones. They're only going to have Harrison Ford play Indiana Jones.
Is Frank Marshall going to? Oh, he's producing it.
Okay. But they have strongly hinted that the franchise is going to continue on. So what a lot of people think is that there's going to be, they're going to introduce essentially a new character who will maybe be Indiana Jones's protege in 5 and then maybe the lead.
You have to have some pose that could do like a flashback thing.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a cartoon of Indiana Jones' nephew or something like
that?
Well,
they did do the Young Indiana Jones.
Young Indiana Jones.
Which is what
I think it was James Bond Junior, but not his son.
I think the Pancho Villa story is actually from, he's talking about an episode of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that they're keeping that in canon. I never watched it, but.
Well, here, let's do, this is our So Wrong It's Right question. This is not a great So Wrong It's Right, but it's, I think, an interesting one. John Rhys-Davies, who played Sala in Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade, was offered an opportunity to cameo in this movie, and he turned it down. what scene, the scene is still exists in the movie, what scene would John Rhys-Davies have been in if he had agreed to cameo?
I know this, I'm gonna...
Do you know? Okay. That happens so often.
I have no idea.
I purposely didn't look up trivia just to be prepared for the So Wrong It's Right question, or to not be prepared.
The wedding?
Alright, Nick's going with the wedding?
Oh, that's the only thing that makes
sense. I'm going with when they're walking through that town to the sanitarium where Oxley was locked up.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's a goodie. Okay, that's a good one. Actually, that's a good one. I don't want to spoil it.
That would actually work really well.
I'm going to give a spoiler that's not correct, but that actually would have been better than... That's better than what the incorrect... Jack, what are you
I'm just going to give a ridiculous answer that I'm sure is not right. I'm going to say that he is actually one of the people at the sanitarium because he's also gone nuts because of the crystal skull. Somehow he was
fascinating.
Looking for it.
You have both given, I think, better answers than what the truth is. Nick is right. He was going to be in the wedding.
Yeah. And he's just going to be in one scene.
They weren't even going to bring him in for the shoot. They were going to shoot him against a green screen.
What? And more CGI.
They were going to...
What?
Yes.
Something George Lucas is involved with who's going to make use of green screen.
Yeah,
Nick, not practical.
John Rhys-Davies was like, I'm not going to come in and stand before in front of a green screen and be green screened into
was
the Lord of the Rings movie at the time or something? Was he like,
I don't think so. No, Lord of the Rings was long over by that point.
He just didn't want to stand in front of a green screen.
He was more than five blocks from the studio they were shooting at.
His explanation was kind of cool. He was like, hey, Sala's actually a pretty cool character. And he's like, that's a little dumb for me to just come in and stand in front of a green screen and
good
be like cropped into a shot in this movie.
Right.
He is hopeful he will be in Indiana Jones 5.
I would like that.
I would like that very much.
I think they should bring Sala back. I think they should bring Short Round back.
Really,
I do.
I hate an unused
good concept, and I think if they replaced Shia LaBeouf's character and Ray Winstone's character and got them out of the movie and replaced them with an adult Short Round who is himself now
Tall
sort of
around?
An Indiana Jones. Whatever, you can call him by a new name. But you can make that a little joke. Like Indiana Jones can call him Shorty and he'd be like, don't call me that. You know, like that could be really fun.
I think we can hope for a cameo. I mean, I know the actor who played Short Round doesn't really act very much anymore.
You could pick another actor. You could try to get him in the movie, or you could pick another actor. No one would, I think, flip their lid because he was so young.
Yeah.
I think that bringing the character back, I think, could be, at least in this film, I don't know if it would work in part five, but in this film, I was always thinking it's just such an easy answer. Right, you don't want to bring Sean Connery in because you know.
They did want to bring Sean Connery in.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's done acting though. He didn't want to.
Yeah.
You don't have certain characters from the past. So why not have Short Round be there as an adult?
Yeah.
And have him and get rid of the Ray Winstone and get rid of Shia LaBeouf and say he's this guy who's now become an adventurer like Indiana Jones, but he's no Indiana Jones and he's got himself into a spot of trouble. Right? And now he needs Indiana Jones to help him. He needs to go to the master to figure out what he's got to do. And then the two of them have this one last adventure together. I thought that would have been really kind of cool. It would have been kind of sweet to see that. You know, I think that would have had a little more pathos than hey, let's ham fist the son. Good one, Gramps. Oh, you're my son. Why aren't you in school? Like that whole bit of trying to force that. Now you have a character. Daddy-o. You have a character with history. You have a character with history, right?
Yeah.
Who has a reason to maybe not like a communist regime because he was an immigrant from China.
It really did feel now that
China.
I just thought it did feel that Mutt was like from the future and was trying to act like the 50s.
It really does, doesn't it?
And now I think about it, like,
yeah, he might as well be like dishing out milkshakes and like Christy said, like be at the sock hop and you know.
But if he was at the sock hop, he wouldn't have been on the greaser side of the cafe fight.
That's true. That's true.
Integral to the plot.
Every greaser looked exactly the same.
Wouldn't it have been great if when the fight did break out, Mutt could only fight in like West Side Story like style, like dance-offs, you know? All right, so let's wrap this one up with, is it so bad it's good? Cody, let's start with you. I feel like I think we know our answer on this one, but we'll
I don't think it's so bad it's good. Like I said, I enjoy the first half of the movie, but... with a few tweaks, it wasn't too bad. It felt like Indiana Jones in the last half. As soon as they got to Peru, the jungle, it was like, just not into it.
Yeah. Jack, what do you think, sir?
I do not think it's so bad it's good, because it's disappointing. It didn't live up, obviously, and it could have been an awful lot better. There's so much there that, like, a little more time, a little more care.
A little more short round.
I want to stop. Not necessarily, but I'm going to stop short of saying maybe even different filmmakers could have taken as much as I know Christy hates the alien stuff, but I think that could be worked into the script in a much better way.
See, I think Indiana Jones, I think supernatural, and that's more sci-fi.
Indiana Jones dealing with aliens just ruined it for me.
The story that we were presented with could be remolded into a better film. Maybe not a great film, but a satisfying conclusion to the Indiana Jones saga, and then we could put it on the shelf until 40 years later when Hollywood makes a remake.
That could be. I'll put this out there, then I'm going to let Christy and Nick have a final word. I don't think this movie is so bad it's good, unless you have no connection to the previous Indiana Jones movies, where if it is not going to be heartbreaking to you to see a bad Indiana Jones film, this film might actually kind of... I feel like if we just watched this totally cold, mm-hmm. we might have thought it was funnier than it was.
Yeah, I was thinking like if it wasn't Indiana Jones, it might be like a enjoyable, goofy
action adventure movie. But unless you're young enough that you don't care about Indiana Jones. So, which if you don't care about Indiana Jones, see the good movies. Yeah. So, Nick, well, what do you think? So bad it's good? Yes or no?
Overall, for the most part, I enjoyed it. You know, I haven't seen it in the 8 years since it's come out.
Yeah.
I will say, I actually prefer it to Temple of Doom.
Wow. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Temple of Doom's always been my least favorite.
Temple of Doom. Yeah. I was calling this film when it came out. I said that they should retitle it Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom wasn't that bad after all. It's what I think that they should.
Well,
call
it didn't make me feel.
I like Temple of Doom a lot, actually. But no, that's okay. I appreciate your opinion, though.
I have
a lot of people don't like it. I feel it, but I do.
I have very out of the norm indie feelings. I think Raiders is second to Last Crusade.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. I think Raiders is best personally. But that's just
Last Crusade is my favorite.
Yeah, I've had a couple people actually say that to me this week. Mm-hmm. They prefer Last Crusade.
I think most people I know, like I know when we were kids, you know, me and my siblings, we all loved Last Crusade, and they'll all tell you Last Crusade's their favorite. I always liked Raiders best.
I think I saw Temple of Doom most when I was a kid, just because that was like the one we had on VHS. So maybe that's why I have like a.
I think Temple of Doom is fantastic. I think there are parts of it that are a little too heavy for the subject matter. Like for the audience that they're trying to do, like the heart ripping out and stuff. But I think it has a lot of the charm. It has the wit. It has, I think, a lot of people. When I saw Indy 4, here we go. When I saw Indy 4.
I just want to say, you're like, it has the charm and the wit. And nothing goes together with charm like heart ripping.
I'm glad we're finally getting Jack's opinion on the movies.
I'm gonna force it on you, sir. You open this can of worms. No.
You haven't even heard my thoughts on one of those. Not just this movie.
We're saving the best for last, Christy.
Clearly, and I have an odd view, so I want to hear what you're
going
to
say. I'm going to say, because when I saw this film, everyone was saying, oh God, well now, you know, well, now I have a new appreciation for Temple of Doom, because everybody hates Temple of Doom. And Temple of Doom is the one that I revisited the least. I saw them all as a kid. But the one that I revisited the least, for whatever reason, I never really thought about it. But I said, well, I guess maybe it is the one that I don't like as much. But then I bought the whole box set when the fourth one came out on DVD, and I got them all. And I watched them all in order, and I said, well, this Temple of Doom is actually really good. Like, it's really fun. I liked the scenes between it. Again, yes, I like the scenes between Indy and Short Round. That works really well. They have a good chemistry. The Willie Scott character is nowhere near as obnoxious as everyone likes to kind of say, oh, she's so obnoxious, I can't watch the movie. Okay, yeah, she's dumb comic relief. She's a little offensive as a female character. She's a little sexist, but it works. You know, and it's a different kind of character than Marion Ravenwood. The cinematography is great. It's got the music. It's got an interesting villain. We're in a different place than the Middle East. The villains aren't Nazis again. It wasn't a rehash. You know, the action set pieces are phenomenal.
Should we just move right into our Temple of Doom review?
So,
I know.
So, I think that it's that 4 is the worst. Long story short.
I don't know why that summary was so funny, but it was. Okay. Christine.
Okay. So a little bit of context. I actually did not see any Indiana Jones movies until I was in college. I was far behind the curve. And the first one I saw was Last Crusade. Then a few years later, I saw Raiders.
Okay.
Then a couple years later, I saw Crystal Skull. So I saw Crystal Skull before ever seeing Temple of Doom.
Okay.
So I saw Last Crusade, Raiders, Crystal Skull, Temple.
Wow, okay.
Odd order. I liked Temple of Doom possibly because I saw Crystal Skull first and I went, yeah, this is way better than Crystal Skull. So I was not somebody who grew up on Indiana Jones, but saw them as adults, knew that I had been missing out on not seeing them and had a great appreciation for them once I saw them. I really wanted Crystal Skull to be good. And I hadn't even seen the iffy Indiana Jones movie yet when I saw Crystal Skull. So I still had I had the two ones. Great ones. And I have to say, in that warehouse scene, when they start driving around in the warehouse in that fight and the Indiana Jones theme song starts up, and even the second time I watched it for this, I still got a little bit of excitement. Like, yes, this is Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
No, this is Crystal Skull. And it just let me down. It was better the second time I watched it than the first because I was prepared for aliens, and that just bothers me because Indiana Jones is an archaeologist, and yes, okay, the aliens visited a long time ago, but I want him to be investigating, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, I want him to be looking into that kind of stuff, not aliens. Indiana Jones and aliens just bother me. So, no, not so bad, it's good. This was...
just bad, bad.
I shouldn't say I almost never watched Temple of Doom because of this, but I went several years after Crystal Skull not watching
Temple
of
Doom
because of the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible how hated this movie is. Like, I'm still sometimes
maybe that's why they made it. Maybe they wanted Temple of Doom to get appreciated. They decided to make this.
Elaborate scheme.
I wonder if that's why. I do know one person who says Temple of Doom is his favorite Indiana Jones film.
And that person is Mola Ram.
No, there is. I've only ever met one person that said they liked Doom best, and I actually was like, "Wow, that's a pretty gutsy choice."
Had he seen the other two movies?
Oh yes,
grew up in India. All right. Well, this has been an epic episode. This is going to bring this one to a close. We have many, many more crazy movies coming up. We're going to have Christy back sometime soon. Hopefully for a movie that's funnier than this one. Like, this movie is funny, but yeah, a movie that's more fun to watch, I guess, than this one.
There's still fun things to watch about it because it's Indiana Jones. And if it was, I think, you know, Cody's right. If it wasn't Indiana Jones, then maybe, okay. I would still see it if it wasn't Indiana Jones, but I love Indiana Jones and I want it to be a good Indiana Jones movie. But
it's interesting how you keep watching it, right? Like, I was doing the same thing. I was like, I want this to be good. I was trying to like it when I was watching it again. I was like, well, yeah. No, this is kind of working. And I was like, no, it's not. Damn it. Like, I was getting upset. But this movie just wasn't working.
I'm getting upset right now. I think I'm solving
that. Unfortunately, Jack and I started talking again after Alex said it's time to wrap up.
Yeah. The moral of the story is go watch the original Indiana Jones trilogy and... Yeah.
And I'm going to close this with, just to have people get people's brains on this podcast working, someone suggested to me an idea for a spin-off podcast where we brought a guest in every week and made them watch Food Fight. Just got the person's thoughts on that movie.
I may not be back.
All for that.
Do we have to watch it with them?
Or? I don't know, man. I don't know. We would all be crazier than like John Hurt in this movie if we did that. All right, everyone. We will be back soon. See you next time. Bye.
Part time.